What's up and welcome to Shop Sounds, a woodworking podcast about nothing. With myself, Nick Key of Key Woodworks, Jason Hibbs of Bourbon Moth, and Keith Johnson, better known as KJ Sawdust. All three of us are on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok.
All right, folks.
Hey, that's my line. Okay, all right, folks. Despite our blasé attitudes and complete lack of an actual format, this podcast is still proudly sponsored by our West Coast Avinakris over at Bits and Bits, who, by the way, think reruns of Latvian Parliament are way more riveting than Canadian Parliament because they actually show slap fighting on the assembly floor.
Ooh.
I saw that on YouTube. I wonder if they'll ever turn that into a Netflix reality show. The Battle at the Latvian Parliament. They could do a behind the scenes of that.
All right, I'm confused. Now, are you still reading? Or are you just kind of freestyling now?
I was riffing, okay. But you guys weren't fighting. You were just leaving me hanging out to dry. That's fine. I accept that. Now, Bits and Bits use their time much differently than you and I because they proudly make their own spiral bits for routers and CNCs right here in the U.S. of America, where, sadly, slap fighting in congressional chambers is actually forgiven. Forbidden. Oh my gosh. I need to blow this font up so it's like life size, not so teeny tiny.
Bifocals.
And after they make said bits, they grab their favorite Nana's mixing bowl and whip up some of their specialized Astra coating and caress every nook and cranny of said bits. In this process, through extensive field studies and mail order questionnaires, have proven to give your bits higher speeds and feed rates and extend the life of them by up to 3 times. Bits and Bits are also constantly coming out with new bits and expanding their tool selection, so go check out their new tools page on bitsbits.com and get yourself some bits. And they also take the great American Whiteside router bits and CNC bits and glaze them with their Astra coating so they can be fully optimized in your routers and CNC machines. And finally, Bits and Bits is also an authorized Festooli dealer. Now be sure to go check out all of Bits and Bits' offerings at bitsbits.com and use coupon code MORSELS15 to save 15% off your next order of router and or CNC bits, because every time you use that coupon code, wait for it, my morsels need more and more green tape to keep them holstered and away from public scrutiny.
Holstered?
I did a story on Instagram the other day, and they were out there and loving every minute of it. And people responded like, well, it must be cold in there. I'm like pushing through 2 shirts here. I don't know what else to do.
You got to get some of those pasties that, you know, girls wear.
I just made. Do Bits and Bits make pasties on their CNC machines?
You know, it's funny.
You can.
When we were doing the build off and I had to run and get that router bit, and I got to go to the Bits and Bits headquarters, which is a picture of state of the artness. I mean, it's crazy setup in there. But I told you guys, I never knew they did dental bits for dentists.
Yeah, that's wild.
But the funny thing is, I was talking to MJ about it, and he told me that they actually figured out that they could skip the dental bits if they just astrocoated everyone's teeth. But they're reluctant to release the technology because then it would put their whole dental bit business, you know, out of business.
Right. Yeah. You got to weigh out the pros and cons. Yeah. So, do they have a white, pigment they can put in that for your teeth? Or is it going to be the gray Astra coating?
It'd be the gray Astra coating.
Oh, okay. Well, that might be a downside.
Yeah. All right. We got some new patrons this week, and this is what we're going to do. The patrons a little bit different. I'm going to read off the new patrons, the brand new ones. We're still going to read our top tier ones, but because there are so many of them and we value everyone's time, we're going to move the reading of the top tiers to the end of the podcast, just so we could really give it, you know, all we got once we're warmed up a little bit. It's not...
And completely exhausted.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking for myself.
So here's the new ones, and then we'll get to the returning top tiers at the end of the show. The new patrons are Aaron Lohr, Matthew Meyer, Russ Juaneu.
You know.
You know.
Juno? Is it Juno?
I think it's Juno, like Alaska.
Or is it, or is it Juanu?
You know?
Anyways, we got Russ. Good guy. Crazy last name. And then we got Ben Lund and Kevin Sauer? Sauer?
Mm-hmm.
Man, why do people, why can't people have normal last names like Walt? His last name is B.
Yeah.
Literally just the letter B. Walt B. All right. Whoa. It continues on to page two. We've got Sean Freyett, Andrew Bonema. These can't be real. And then we just have Andrew, unless that's a typo and Andrew got started twice. We might have a Andrew, no last name. Maybe he did that for my benefit. Chris,
he did.
Christina, is that right?
Nope.
Chris,
Christian?
That's how. That's a weird way to spell Christian with a K, no C-H. What are we doing here? Christian, tongue. We've got Nick Vreeland, Andrew Becker, Nick, a.k.a. Sawyer Design on Instagram and YouTube. And we've got Ben Mallard. I like that one.
Yeah.
That one's easy. And then we got some new top tiers. We got Nick Sabidra.
Sabidra.
Man, I got the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable there.
Syllable.
Nick Sabidra. He's at Death Blooms. It's kind of creepy. And then Nicholas.
It is Halloween.
Nicholas Hitchin. Yeah?
Yeah.
That's right. Ride.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's
and then we'll do all the returning top tiers at the end of the show. So be sure to stick around for that.
Giddy
that's
up.
That's right.
Well,
shoo.
What's new?
Well, fellas, let me be the first to admit I miss you.
Oh.
So fun hanging out for a whole week together, sleeping in the same bed. Using the same bath. I mean,
same sleep apnea machine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good times. Feels weird to be, working alone again. Solo.
Solo.
It's nice, though. I kind of like
fun.
It.
You like solo better?
Well, I like it because then it makes it seem like I actually do some work.
Oh. Yeah, I could see that.
I saw you doing a lot of work in my video. Especially when Jason wasn't around.
Yeah, I paid extra for that edit, apparently. Yeah. Yeah.
You did some work in my video. You did all the puck tops. You watched me sand for a while.
Yeah, I watched you do everything in your video.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, you know, you listeners out there have had a chance to watch all three videos. I have to say, though, if someone were to pick a winner on the best of the three videos, Nick, for not doing any work, I think your video wins.
Yep, hands down.
Explain how you got your voice to do that.
Well, it was hard. I had to drink a lot of tea and I become
biscuits.
Very feminine. Yeah.
And gravelly.
Yeah, and retreat a lot in war.
Oh.
Oh shots, my gosh.
Shots fired, but not by the
I'm
British.
I'm just kidding. We don't have that many British listeners, do we? I don't think so. No, but I mean, you guys know when I first got there, I was like, are you guys down to do like an episode of The Office and do some like talking heads, you know, talk to the camera, like a day-to-day kind of overview? And I think around the second day, I was like, yeah, we don't have time for that. We're not going to be like sitting down in front of the camera to talk at all. Cause I mean, we were just working. So like, I think on Monday, I was like, scratch that whole idea. I'm just going to film whatever. And I'm going to write a script and I'll have somebody read, you know, the whole script like it's a documentary. I didn't even think at that point that I was going to go for like a British guy. I think it was super late in the game that I was like, let's make this a British guy.
Mm.
But
good choice.
Oh, it worked.
Yeah,
big time.
I think it made it.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching Netflix like the night we got back, or that I got back rather. And it was it was David Attenborough, and I was like, yeah, it's got to be a British guy.
Yeah. So how much did you have to pay David Attenborough to do your video?
He said he'd do it for free. Oh. I just had to mention his name on the podcast.
So. No, but really explain this to me. So there's like a website where you basically put out a job listing for a voice actor and then give them a little piece of the script, and then they submit auditions?
Yeah, so
Did you say in there, like, looking for a cheeky British voice?
Yeah. I mean, literally, there's this website called voices.com, and I've used them in the past at my job, and you just put up, like, a sample script, and then you have all these descriptors that you are looking for, like, if you're looking for a female voice, the age range, the ethnicity, accent, all of that kind of, you know, whatever you're looking for. And then you put up like a sample script. So like a 15 to 20 second sample script. And whoever is on this website can see those job listings and audition for it. So like I got 30 auditions for my sample script. Wow. So I had to listen to like 30 British guys. And it was funny because I put on there, like, I wanted a senior voice, so like 55 and up. But I got guys that from their picture, I was like, you're like 25 or 30 max.
Yeah, but they're probably like, old. I can do 50.
I can pull this off.
They're like, I can sound old. Yeah. But you definitely didn't get that old feel. But there was, I think I narrowed it down to like three people, and I sent those three guys to you guys, and I was like, who of these do you like? And one of them, I was like, yep. And his name was James Brown. Of all names, James Brown did my voiceover, and he nailed it.
How much was it? I'm curious.
It was a few hundred dollars.
Wow.
So, I mean, yeah, it's worth it because they're professional voice actors. Yeah.
They probably got, I mean the sound quality sounded really good. He must have like a sound booth set up or something.
Yeah. Yep. And we should have same day delivery and a professional sound quality. I didn't have to touch it. It was great. I just, you know, cut it up and put it where I needed to. But it was great.
Yeah, I put in a request for him to be to do me on the podcast next show. So
I
won't be here. Yeah.
Perfect.
Nice.
Yep. He's gonna fill in for me.
Dude, it did make me think, like, why don't more people do that for their YouTube videos? Because there's some people...
Because it's expensive.
Yeah, it's a little expensive.
Yeah, but there's some people that just, no offense, don't have the best narration voices, but their content's really good. But sometimes their narrating gets in the way a little bit. And they should just have a... Like, I would listen to that. It's, like, soothing. It, like, melts
right,
in your ears.
That's why I hired somebody.
Yeah, especially well, your voice the quality.
I'd take your snoring over your voice most of the time.
Right.
I kid.
Well, no, I mean, not really.
All right.
But
so
then
you got to
write
back
a script,
safe,
Jason,
obviously.
Which, yep.
That's true. Which I can't do that.
Yeah, I can't do it anymore either. Yeah, no script.
I've never.
Wait, what?
No, I don't write a script.
You guys just go off the
cuff?
Well,
Jason wings it from beginning to end. If his video's 40 minutes, it takes him 40 minutes to do the voiceover. He can do that. Like, I have to keep going back and forth and rephrasing things because I don't like how it sounded. But, yeah, I don't have a script in front of me at all.
Yeah, that's not quite true. If it's a 40-minute video, it'll take me, like, 50 minutes.
Oh, yeah. It's
oh, my because God. I'll go as long as I can, and I don't really care what I say. But what I don't like is if I like fumble over my words or something. Sometimes I leave that in there and I just roll with it. But every once in a while, I'll stop it and then like restart. So, but yeah, I can do a 40-minute video in under an hour for sure.
Oh my gosh.
Gosh, that's insane.
Yeah. I wish.
Probably took me like 2 hours just to write my script.
But the result of that is you get a lot of comments from people that are like, you said this. I think you meant that. That happens. Oh. That happens a lot.
Yeah,
but whatever.
But you don't respond anyway, so what's the difference?
Right, what does it matter?
Hey, I respond
you just
to people
like it. You
on
just
YouTube
like
sometimes.
Only when they tell you're being unfunny.
Well, yeah, usually I only respond to the haters. So if you want a response from me on YouTube, you gotta say something really nasty. I told some guy his mom smelled like waffles this week.
Oh, what's wrong with that?
I love the smell of waffles.
I don't know.
Unless they're like burnt
waffles.
It's just
the first thing that came to my mind. It's thinking about it, it's not even a derogatory comeback. It was quite nice of me to say.
It was a compliment.
But,
yeah.
Yeah.
You are flipping the tables on them. Take that.
That's right. Oh, how the tables have turned.
But so you made it back safe. What have you guys been up to since your departure from the Northwest?
The pot fields of Oregon.
Well, I guess we didn't talk about that. I did miss my flight.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, Expedia changed it on me, and I didn't pay attention to it because they'd sent it like a month and a half before my flight. So I'm like, I'm not reading any of these messages until a week before because they're going to change it 10 more times. Well, they didn't. They only changed it the once.
Just the once.
So we were scrambling that morning that, I got a text saying, your flight is boarding, and we're sitting in the shop
as we were shooting
pictures.
Your outro.
So we had to reschedule or get a later flight. It actually worked out well because Nick's flight was around the same time at the airport, but I had to a layover instead in D.C., which thank God that flight wasn't late because I walked off my plane, walked 20-something gates, and walked right on my connecting flight.
That's
so if
nice.
There had been anything late or early, I would have been screwed. But yeah, ended up getting home at 1:30 in the morning.
And then waking up at what time to go to Maker Camp?
Then,
it's called? Maker Camp?
Oh, wait, I got...
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, Maker Camp. So I got up at... Yeah, whatever. I actually slept in a little bit, but got up at 8, got on the road to Maker Camp at like 10, which was a great event. I wish I had been able to go back the next day. I was just too tired because I stayed. I'm like, I'm just going to stay as long as people are up this day or that Saturday. So I stayed till 2:30 and I got home at 4:30 in the morning. But ran into our buddy Sean from Shaper was there. Some
Hey-o.
Good time with him and my buddy Derek from Walden and all the Modern Forge guys. Fader was there doing demos on forging and... Yeah, it was a whole, I had never been before, so I didn't know what to expect, but it was quite an event. They have so much, Total Boat was there in full force. It was awesome to see them. They were doing demonstrations, and there's some other CNC stuff. There was forging. You could turn on lathes. There were chainsaw carvings. There were, what else was going on? I didn't even get around to see it. Oh, and Michael Alm was building his giant wooden dinosaur.
How was that?
Out of what looked like pressure treated plywood. So I'm glad I wasn't there for the burning of that. But it was
smelled
huge.
Delicious.
But they did something smart rather than burning it from starting it below and letting it go up and the thing collapse before it even reaches the top. I think they started burning it in the middle. That way flames would shoot out the head and the thing wouldn't collapse.
Yeah, when he was out at my shop for our boat build, I mean, he was telling me a little bit about it. And apparently he's done this with another guy before. He learned the art of doing it from some other guy that's done this at festivals. And he's telling me there's a whole way you have to build it, which basically creates a chimney inside the thing.
Oh.
So.
Like Burning Man style.
Yeah.
A green egg.
Something.
Yeah, it was humongous. It was like right in the middle of the field of the whole thing. It was ginormous.
That's what she said.
Yeah, she sure did. But yeah, I got to meet some other people I haven't met before. I don't know if you guys know John Peters, who actually lives in New Jersey. He's got a big YouTube. So awesome conversation with him. His son was there too. You know, everybody, you guys know the Barefoot Forge. We've met him
I remember him from Workbench.
Yeah, he shows up in like a pickup truck with a big tarp over the whole bed of the truck, just full of ice and beer, like driving around. I don't know what. Guy's on a whole other level of party. But Craig DiCiccio, I don't know if you follow him, woodworker out of North Carolina. I've been following for a long time. Got to catch up with him and never met him before. So yeah, it was a lot of like people I just didn't expect to see there. I didn't know, you know, Duresta and obviously.
And you also met Bao, didn't you?
I thought I did. I met another Asian gentleman who I thought was him. Oh my gosh, what an embarrassing moment. We all look alike, you don't we?
I'm Mailman. You think I know where a Chinese restaurant is?
Oh, you American. Where's local hamburger stand? I know. Well, luckily I wasn't the only person, so it didn't make me feel that bad. But yeah, still.
For all those listening, that is a line from Seinfeld. No, I'm not
Seinfeld
being just
reference.
Really racist
yes.
here.
Right. No, yeah. That is Seinfeld. Yes.
But yeah, it was a good time. Had a lot of fun. Obviously, the drive home was a little touch and go there.
So if you had to, so for the listeners, of course.
Yes.
If you had a pick and you were going to either choose one, Maker Camp to go to or Workbench Con, what would be your conference of choice? Or
For me, it's Workbench Con because of the people. But you know, just as far as the woodworking community, this is more of the maker community. But this is hands-on as you get. You want to forge, you want to make a knife, you want to turn, you want to do whatever. There's plenty of hands-on things you can do versus Workbench Con, where there really isn't. You know, there's the Home Depot screw into this, so you can screw into this 2x4 faster than the other guy. You know, you can really get your hands dirty and try some stuff you've never done before. And it's way cheaper. It's like $75 a day or $200 for the 4-day pass.
Wow.
And you can, you know, it comes with a free campsite. Now, where this place is, I thought it was like all the people around were camping were from this event, but it actually takes place in a full-time campground where people live year-round.
Oh,
there's
no.
People like flying around in golf carts with American flags and parties going on over here and over there. It's at the Blackthorn Resort, I think. Yeah, it's kind of a wild scene. You know, some of the guys, like Craig DiCicchio, drove up from North Carolina, just slept in the bed of his truck in a campsite, and people were just in tents. And yeah, it was, you know, that camping life isn't really for me. So
man,
I went home.
That is intense.
Oh, a little intense.
Someone had to say it.
But, I mean, people are drinking. They don't care where they pass out, I guess. But
when
true. When you're sober and tired, I don't really want
to
sleep on the ground.
You got to go back to New Jersey.
Yeah. Yep. So I did buy a 2-day pass, but I didn't end up going back the second day. But oh well.
Oh well. It still sounds fun.
And then I thought it included my meal. So we all go over to the mess hall and like, oh no, you need a yellow wristband for that. She's like, you can go up there and pay for the meal. I'm like, okay. And it's like, you know, cafeteria food, pork and a vegetable and a soup or something. $18.
Ooh, that's
like,
a deal.
Wow. I was like, TGI Fridays, I could get an app, I could get a full meal, dessert, and a seltzer.
Oh, I know. But we went to Panera for dinner, and it's like a normal size sandwich for $15 or whatever.
Oh, my gosh.
It's good, though. I like some Panera.
I do. I'll admit. I do. Mm. So, yeah, I guess if you're in the area, some people traveled from people from there, from Arizona, all over the country came there because it's such kind of a unique event that, and since everyone hasn't been really out at one of these maker events in a couple years, it seems like, so
yeah.
Everybody finally was able to see each other and enjoy and their hands dirty and get drunk as skunks, apparently.
Wow. So sounds it was fun. Like a good time.
I do recommend it. I'll definitely be going back next year.
All right.
And maybe I'll bring my sleeping bag and sleep in the back of, well, not in the bed of my truck, but
maybe
in the
back
seat.
Maybe you should bring your podcast guests with you.
Okay.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
You guys want to go?
Maybe so.
Yeah. We should get a campsite. We should go stay. Like, out of everything you said, I'd be most excited about the cafeteria food.
You.
I'm definitely getting that yellow wristband.
And you know, the lady at the front desk, like we were, you know, yucking it up with her, laughing and talking. And then I went in and I thought I had a pass and I didn't. I came back and she's like, oh, you don't have a pass. And I thought she'd be like, don't worry about it. Cause there's literally 150, 200 people in that mess hall. She came in and said, yeah, here, take it. No problem. That'll be $18, please. I'm like, what do you get commission off of these? Like, what do you care? Just give me a wristband, woman. But to her credit, you know, she did her job. And I got my pork tenderloin.
Or so right. They say.
Or so they say. Right. Yeah. I don't know.
Could have been anything up there in the Catskills. You never know.
You're absolutely. It could have been some possum. Kind of roadkill. Yep.
Raccoon.
Yep. Yep. Well, I didn't get sick, so that I was just praying about. Yeah. You just never know.
You never know.
You never know. So. But what have you, Jason, you put out, let's get to Nick. Because Nick, what is this white oak for? I saw you planing up some timbers here.
Don't say that it's for a catch-all everyday carry for kids.
what's wrong with
a book
that?
Dump. It's a book dump.
Well, because we've talked about this on like 4 episodes. I'm like, how have you not actually built this yet?
I know. That thing is, I just haven't even thought about it. Every time I want to get started on it, I'm like, eh.
I could have built 3 boats and 6 tanks in the time that it's taking to build this one book dump.
It's true. Like 10 shuffleboards have been made in the time that I could have made this bookshelf thing, whatever.
You know what's funny about that shuffleboard, not to sideline you talking about the book dump, but I had somebody send me a DM asking if they could buy it, and guess what they offered me for that shuffleboard table?
$500.
No, they offered $10,000.
What? Oh, really?
Yeah. We'll take it. I mean, you'll take
sold.
It.
I thought, how funny would it be if I sold that thing the moment you guys left?
Or, I have no hard feelings.
Or when I book your Airbnb when it's back on the market. Now, where's the shuffleboard table that was supposed to be here?
They wrote asking if I could build them one. And I was like, no, I'm sorry. That was a one-off, you know, piece. That'd probably be the only one I ever make. And they're like, I'll give you $10,000 for it.
Wow.
And I was like, no, I really like shuffleboard.
But for 20, I don't really like it that much.
That's true.
That's what that thing would have to sell for, though, to be honest. But like,
for,
I mean,
20?
No, 10. Like if someone were to say, hey, build me a shuffleboard table, it would be $10,000 at least.
Oh, at least.
And plus you'd have to put those.
Well, if you were doing a walnut.
But even $10,000, I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
Because we had what? At least probably with everything. 3,500 to four into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then two and a half men time for however long we were there.
And you got to cover your guys' airfare to get out there, meals, lodging. I mean, you're not going to make any money off of that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would estimate that thing at like 14 to 15 grand, really.
No. Let's not get crazy.
No, I'm serious.
I mean,
a solid walnut 9-foot table?
No.
Even if it's not shuffleboard.
I think that's ridiculous. I mean, that's thinking way too highly of ourselves if you're putting that. I think so.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, I think you'd have to put those board levelers in there to keep the surface flat.
Yeah. Climate adjusters.
Yeah, whatever they are for you know, to change like humidity and all that.
Right.
But, I mean, it also
definitely
took us
like
a while
Be able to sell it for 14 to like 16 grand if the mitered corners weren't rounded over.
That automatically bumps it up to 18 grand. I don't know what you're talking about.
Like with those rounded over mitered corners, that drops it down grand
discount.
Right there.
It's like
heavy
the scratch
discount.
And dent discount that you get when you buy a washing machine that was on a floor model or something.
Yeah, but I'm thinking about like in the way of if one person was to get that commission, build it themselves, I feel like 10 is a fair price. I mean, that's six grand profit. And it would probably take you, what, at least 2 weeks to build by yourself?
Yeah.
By yourself, yeah.
It's just big, like moving it around. That's the tough part.
Yeah. I don't know. It's one of those weird specialty things. It's hard to price. It's not like a dining room table where there's like a known like this is a average price for this.
Mm-hmm.
Custom.
Right. Well, we know now.
Like I wonder Jory Brigham. I wonder what he charges for his. Probably at least that, if not more.
Oh, it's got to be way more.
I'd say he's like at 15 plus.
Oh, I'd say he's 20 to 30 for those. But I mean, they have LED lighting. They have all.
And they got the name. I mean, it's Jory Brigham.
Yeah.
So you're paying
right,
for the name.
Right. Well, and it's an all metal trough too, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's not doing wood bottoms.
No.
Well, no, that one I saw was wood bottomed.
Mm.
Yeah, but the others have the metal trough with like built in like the squares, metal squares so the legs can slide into them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all one unit. That's pretty
insane. I'm assuming it's all powder coated.
Yeah. Yep.
Huh.
A little more. Yeah. Upscale from ours, but
okay.
Real nice call.
Sorry, Nick.
Real nice.
We can talk about the book drop if you want to.
Well, I'm not, I don't want to talk about it because I'm not doing it yet.
Oh,
I'm still not doing it.
Okay.
Are you
I'm
waiting
putting
for
that
those
on the back
books
burner
that I'm
again?
You?
No, I'm just not letting my kids check any library books out anymore, so I don't have to do this project. Yeah,
it looks like a plywood storage cart kind of thing.
That's pretty much what it is. I mean, it's like your offcuts for your plywood. That's where you put it in your shop.
Right.
And then you put some toys underneath it. That's all I'm making.
A mini
Why don't
version.
You, step up the design a little bit.
Yeah, make it fancy. Do some bent lamination or something. Make some weird
some
mechanical
LEDs.
Thing that like shoots the books back at them if they put them in there wrong.
Like a hidden gun compartment.
Yeah, a hidden catapult. Make
no,
it
I'm
fun.
Not doing that for a while. What I got started on today was the my oak dining table. So I'm redoing our dining table. My like the very first woodworking project I did when we moved into this house was a dining table, and it's just a simple pine dining table, as simple as it gets. And it's been great because I didn't want to make anything expensive because I knew our kids would just destroy it, and they have. Like they've just written all over it, markers, coloring, crayons, whatever.
Sounds like a parenting problem.
Is it?
I'm just joking. Yeah.
Didn't you ever heard of duct tape? And
yeah, no, it's just, I mean, it was one of those things where like I knew kids, you know, just don't, you know, value furniture for a while. And I think we're finally at the point where we can like allow them to do their homework on it and it not be an issue to where they're going to write on their paper and not on the table. Mm. So I'm going to redo it, and I'm doing it all white oak and semi-exact. Have you guys heard of that company, semi-exact?
No.
They make partially. Like metal legs. Yeah, just semi every now and then. They make metal legs for tables, coffee tables. Like they've got some kits for like bed frames, like box bed frame kind of thing. Real simple DIY stuff. And they reached out and they wanted to send me something. And I said, you know, this would be perfect to send me these legs for my dining room table. And then I can just do the top and it'll look nice. So last weekend, I actually replaced our light fixture in our dining room.
Of course you did.
So we had like, well, yeah, we had this like old chandelier kind of looking thing that was just in there when we moved in. And it was not our style, but I mean, nobody thinks to replace lighting fixtures until you're like actually caring about the room kind of thing. So we're like, you know, this light fixture just looks old school and it's not us. So I put like a five light, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like this sheet metal box. So it's like this frame, this rectangular frame with five lights that point down. So it's like a modern looking, I don't even know how to describe it other than it's like a modern.
But it's a great thing to talk about on a podcast.
It's perfect for audio only. Yeah, I'll post a picture.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But anyways, I replaced that so that it would go with a more modern table.
I feel like if you could sift back through all of our podcast episodes and cut out all of the content of Nick talking about lighting, it reduced the amount of recording time by half.
Really? Do I do a lot of lighting?
Well, you went through that big spurt where you were really into the like LED can lights or whatever.
Oh yeah. I put in like 30 of those.
No. That was a dry spell on the podcast.
It was a bit of a dry spell.
What'd you do this week, Nick? Well, I put in 6 more can lights. Let me tell you in detail about how I did it.
Now. You know what? Wiring. Those can light that YouTube video is still my biggest video by far.
Still going, right?
Still going. Still big.
It's funny the things that do well. It always makes me laugh.
Is. Right?
Yeah.
But no, I got started on that today. I took the day off because I've got to work tomorrow. But I got everything. I took a page out of our shuffleboard book, and I'm not going to joint any of these boards because they're like just big enough to where I don't want to.
Man. We were hoping to improve your woodworking, like being around us, and that's your one takeaway? Oh, I don't have to joint boards.
Oh, God.
No, well, these boards are just wide enough to where I don't want to cut them down to fit my joiner. So they're all at
face
like...
face joint. I thought you meant edge joint.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, I'll still edge joint them for sure, yeah, but face jointing them, I'm not going to do that because they're all at like 7 to 8 inches wide. So I straight line ripped them with the track saw today to about 6, 6.5. So I didn't waste so much, you know, get them to fit on my 6-inch joiner. So tomorrow morning, I've got like maybe a couple hours that I can run them through the planer and try and get them close enough to where then I won't have too much of an issue to domino everything and sand my life away.
Nice. Well, I mean, you should be fine putting metal legs in there. I don't know. But are they? Well, I don't know. See, that's
just the corners, right?
Yeah, it's not like a full metal base. It's just attaching.
No, it's not.
Well, then see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's when you got to be careful, because if your slab top isn't perfect and you put those legs on there, any twist is just going to lift up one of those legs or.
Exactly.
Like a spider.
Which is why I'm going to be sanding my life away.
Just add some self-leveling feet on the bottom of
that. Yeah, I will. And just put some shims underneath.
I had a client once napkins. When I was really early on in my woodworking endeavors, and they had a really tight budget. They wanted this long, call it a conference table, I guess, for their business, but they wanted it bar height, and they had a really small budget, so they asked for construction grade fir, and it was probably 12 feet long, maybe 3 feet wide, and then for the legs, they just bought some of those restaurant style metal legs, you know, that you just bolt on the bottom.
Mm.
But that fir wasn't straight, it was twisty, so you put those legs on there and the whole thing wobbles. I mean, it was horrible.
Right.
Mm.
But you should be okay with oak. It doesn't get too humid in Kentucky, right?
No. And I actually checked the moisture on it today. It's at 8. It's at 8 to 9%.
89?
89? No. 8 to 9 percent.
Okay.
The oak is. I think it's probably 45 to 50% humidity.
Mm.
But no, it really shouldn't be that
It'll
bad.
It'll be fine.
Plus everything, yeah. I mean, it came, all of that oak came really relatively flat. I mean, there was only a couple spots where I was like, well, I'll be sanding for a while to get everything leveled up on that. But it's all really straight grain. It's riffs on. There's
Worst case scenario, you just bolt the, legs to the floor.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. That's fine with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be better for my kids.
And a movable object to run into.
Perfect. That's right.
Sharp metal legs that don't budge.
Right. Right. No, but also earlier today, I was straight line ripping all those boards and my dust extractor filled up. And I was like, why am I getting so much spit back on my cuts? The dust is flying everywhere. I'm like, what the heck? It was full, and I was like, great. I went to change the bag, and I didn't have any more bags, so I spent 30 minutes using my shop vac to suck out dust out of the existing bag, feeling like some poor man.
Festool. So yeah. That happened to me. Yeah, so Jason has the Harvey dust processor, the next model up from me, but that it's got a big canister inside and then a smaller one that collects the dust. So the big chips fall into the first one and then any dust is supposed to fall into the next one. And there's a siren on mine. Jason doesn't have a siren, I don't think, that goes off when it's full. So it's like, hey, dummy, stop sucking. This thing's full. Empty it and start it again. Yeah. It didn't go off. And I had been running a lot of walnut through there. And all of a sudden I got no suction. Barely any. I was like, how is this possible? I open it up. I'm like, okay, it's full. So I emptied it. Same thing. Still no suction. Huh. I go to turn the knob that turns the pleats and the filters to get the fine dust out. Both of them are locked up. So I'm like, what does I gotta? That means these things are complete. That means all the chips went over the processor, didn't drop in either of those bags, and all went right into each of those two filters on the end. So I didn't really know. I mean, I could start disassembling this thing, but I sent a message to Jason Bent. I was like, has this happened to you before? Because I don't know what to do. He's like, yeah, you got to either take it apart or reach up in there, underneath through, like you're trying to get steal a candy bar out of a vending machine.
You should have called me for some advice. I'll tell you my story here in a second.
The amount of chips that came out of each of those filters is, it almost filled up a whole bag. It was so compacted in there. What a mess. I was completely covered in walnut dust, head to toe. I had a nice tan, though. I was like, wow, this is what happens when get some sun. I had some nice, had a nice walnut coloring on my skin. But yeah, it was a nightmare. So, there's really no way around it because the sensor's supposed to go off when it's full. But I guess I just got to keep.
Whoops.
But anyway, all right, Jason, what is your
crack shot method? Well, so remember when we were in a, no, this isn't a crack shot method. I just have some experience with what you were going through. Remember when it was like the last couple days of doing the shuffleboard build? And I think the last thing we were doing is we were planing down that walnut, the sapwood and the heartwood walnut to make the tops for the pucks. Remember?
Pucks. Yep.
And so we were running those through the planer a lot. And I remember at one point we noticed that the light turned yellow on the dust collector. And we were really close to being done. We were like, oh, we just got to keep going. I think at that point we were over on the drum sander. And then we decided to go back over to the planer and we planed them down some more. Anyways, we never actually went over and checked the dust collection to see how full it was. So you guys leave. And then the next week, I spend the whole week kind of editing video, taking a little bit of a break. I wasn't really out in the shop building. That next Friday, so a week ago today, I had a guy who's a friend of mine whose good friend is getting into woodworking, and he wanted to come over and see the shop. And I just cleaned it all up after you guys left, so everything looked good. I was like, sure, come on over. So he comes in, and he was asking about the dust collector. And I was telling him like all the things I like about it, things I don't like. And I went to show him that little tray that pulls out. I'm like, oh, you can just pull this out, and this is where it catches all the fine dust, and you just vacuum this out. And so I undo the little clips, and I go to pull it, and there's some resistance when I go to pull it. And so I pull a little harder, and it was like snakes in a can. Like, just saw, like, walnut chips explode out of that thing that's supposed to just collect the fine dust from the filters. And so I'm like, uh-oh, I got a problem. So then I unscrew one of the filters. On mine, you can just unscrew it and just pull them out.
Yeah.
And it's just caked. Both filters completely just impacted with dust. I pull out the main, like, collection thing. That's full. And then, yeah, I had to reach my arm way up in there.
Yeah.
There was dust packed in every orifice of this dust collection thing. Oh, I mean, it was bad. So it's funny that you went home and did the exact same thing to yours after doing it to mine. Oh.
All right, that's a good advertisement for Harvey Dust Collectors.
It was just funny that he was like, oh, how's this working? I'm like, oh, it's great. You undo this little thing, and this is where it catches a fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no, I could have filled up the whole dust bin again probably with what I dug out of that thing. Yeah,
yep.
I took the filters out. Boy. And I sprayed them with the air compressor, and I didn't pay attention to the wind direction. And we have the contractors, you know, working on our house. And so both of their trucks were parked in the driveway, and I completely covered one of the dude's trucks is like a dark charcoal gray, and it was legit brown after I sprayed these filters on. I felt kind of bad. So that was fun.
I thought our problems were over from like the cyclones with the filter filling up because there's no sensor on it. I was like, oh, I'll never have that problem again. Wrong.
Whoops.
Yeah, it just has taught me that once that yellow light comes on, you better stop and empty it now. It doesn't have much.
Yeah, it doesn't even happen on mine. It's the alarm only. Like, there's no other warning.
I think the way your sensor probably is there's like a little like sensor pad at the top.
There isn't, though. I couldn't find it like yours. Oh,
well, on mine it is. Like, you can reach in, and if you touch your finger against it, it makes the light turn yellow. So that means that the dust has to come up high enough to make contact with that sensor pad before the light even turns yellow. Well, that's at the top of the collection bin. I mean, there's no more room after that. So when that light turns yellow, it's full.
I see.
Yeah, you're done.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Mine must have just... Because the actual bags themselves could have taken more material. So everything must have just like did a flyby, like, oh, it looks full down there. I'm going to keep going and empty out into these filters. So like I was talking to Jason Bennett, like, yeah, I just going to have to basically maybe every day or weekly just go out there and make sure I can turn those filters and they're not clogged and that there's actual airflow.
Mm.
But that was just one of the many Harvey problems I had this week. That bandsaw, man. That bandsaw. But anyway, so Jason, you've been making some doors. I see.
Yeah.
Can anyone build just a table saw?
You like these behind me? You like this door?
Oh, is that what it is?
I'm looking like Nick's room now. All dark.
Wow, you built those just for the show.
Yeah, well, I did that video where I was doing our guest room and I ripped out the carpet and I put those painted pine floors in, and the closet in there had nasty red oak closet doors like every house built in the 90s, and took those out. I saved the hardware that was on them though and left the track up. So I just built some replacement doors with a little MDF and poplar and slapped the hardware back on there and stuck them up.
So what do you got that? Panel in a dado all the way around the frame? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I basically built two huge shaker style cabinet doors.
Doors, right?
Yeah, I just used 6/4 poplar instead of 3/4 inch. Yeah, tongue and grooved it in there, and then for the panel, I just took 1/2 inch MDF, and then I ran it systematically through the table saw to make it kind of look like a vertical shiplap. You know, put some lines in there. I used that flat bottom grind table saw blade, so it was just nice, perfect little 1/8 inch lines in there. And then I made the stupid decision. I was gonna paint them. And I was like, man, I don't want to set up a spray booth and spray these all. It's two doors. I'm just going to do it by hand. And about halfway through them, I was like, this was so stupid. I would have been done already if I just set up the spray booth.
10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention getting in all those little saw marks that I cut was a pain to get down in there. And yeah.
Right.
The one upside, I will say, to doors in our house, especially since we painted them all black, is when you brush them, when they inevitably get dinged up, it's really easy to touch them up.
Touch up.
Where if it's sprayed, it's a lot harder to touch them up and hide where you touch up. So I got it done. Just posted the video today. It's probably my shortest video I've posted in the last year. It's only 25 minutes long.
25 minutes?
Oh my gosh.
Just about 10 minutes shorter than they normally are, so.
Oh, that is funny. Oversized shaker doors in just 25 minutes.
Just 25.
In just 25 minutes.
I can't I don't know why. I can't make a short video. Can't do it.
It's so weird because you are like the hatchet master as far as like cutting up clips and getting rid of the fluff. I don't know. I think it's you just need to talk fast. Like that's what I talk so fast in my voiceover that I have to speed up the clips.
Well, you know the problem is it's my editing. I always edit it down to like 25 to 35, 37, whatever minutes. And then in my mind I tell myself, okay, well now I know I have enough. I'll cut this down as I do the voiceover. But when I have that much edited, I just fill it in with talking. No matter what it is, I just like talk to the amount of content I have on the screen. So I never actually take the time to shrink it down while I'm talking. So if I want a shorter video, I got to initially edit a shorter video and then my voiceover will just be what it is for that size video. I just don't do that. I don't know. But people don't seem to mind. So,
hey, you can fit more ads in there.
Yeah,
that's true. That is true.
And I mean, we were talking about, it's funny what things do well. This was like, I had to get this project done because my wife was asking me to, and I just busted these out in a day and a half, threw the video together, and it's performing better than any video I've posted in a long time.
Oh my gosh.
Of course.
So I don't get it. You spend, a lot of time building a beautiful shuffleboard table, and it kind of limps along. You throw some shaker style closet doors together with poplar and MDF, and people are like, yes, this is
that's
the content
DIY,
I want.
I guess. Yeah, this is the approachable stuff I can do. Wow. Yeah, this little router table, compact router table, I've probably been working on it longer than Nick's been talking about that book dump. I was looking through my clips. I have video clips from 10 different days on this stupid thing. It's embarrassing.
Really?
It's just been an ongoing, because I was waiting for parts and then I changed that, whatever. In any event, the video is coming out Wednesday because the sponsor of the video, like it has to be that day. It's like whatever the case may be. So I started voiceover this morning and I was in a groove, and then I don't know what happened, but then I had a conference call and that threw me off for an hour and a half, and then dinner and now this. So back at it tomorrow morning, hopefully, but the project itself is done.
Isn't it weird, too, how if you break up your voiceover like that, I don't know what happens to the human body, but your voice sounds different.
Mine is, you can tell when I start voiceover in that shuffleboard video. I was like, oh, I started in the morning because I'm still like gravelly and my voice hasn't warmed up yet.
Waking up.
Yep. My wife's like, you got to have some hot water with lemon and honey. It's like, just stick with this coffee here.
I just but guess yeah, I you can't, definitely tell. I can't pick a pitch. Like my voice sounds completely different. I have to do it all in one run or else.
Yeah.
It just doesn't sound right.
You're right.
So, you know what I did this week, though?
I'm sure people pick up.
Is I had to get my video sent off for approval from the sponsor, and I didn't have it all edited. I didn't even have it done because I was waiting for stupid paint to dry. So, I had no ending to my video. There's still like 5 minutes left of installing the doors and everything. So, I just sent it off with absolutely no ending on the video. They didn't even notice.
Yeah, they don't watch it. They just.
That's good as good.
And then once it was approved, I added the ending and yeah.
All good.
What are you going to do?
What are you?
That's crazy.
What? Burglar?
I thought I hit something else. No, I thought I thought it was Jerry trying to get in again. So
next
what's the
week,
next project then? Yeah.
Well, you guys are going to love this. I think next week I'm going to start building an outfeed table.
No kidding.
Which would have been really nice to have.
You're going
to
replace us with
here.
An outfeed table?
Yeah, yeah. I've needed one since the second I set that saw up. It's such a pain to run sheets of ply through there by myself without an outfeed table.
Dangerous. Yeah.
Yeah, I cut out a lot of the video parts of me doing that because it's not pretty. But you know, I got a saw stop. What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah.
Kickback. No big deal.
Actually, I got a Harbor Freight saw. Sorry. I don't want to say
that. Oh, right.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't oversell.
No. Yeah, the problem with that is I have to get a video out next week and there's no way I kind of know the outfeed table I want to build. There's no way I can build it, film it, edit it, get it out in a week. So, I'm going to have to do some sort of other shorter video while I'm building the outfeed table and then make that a 2 week project. So who knows? Who knows what'll happen next week? This is my life. People are like, you must be so organized. You're getting content out. I literally don't know what I'm doing from 1 week to the next. It's Friday.
It's amazing.
I have no clue what I'm going to do next week. So
conversely,
I don't know how you do that.
Even when I know what I'm doing, it takes me 10 times as long as you who don't know what you have planned. Like I have projects set and they take me 10 times
Dude,
as long.
My life is a hot mess.
I know why it takes you that long.
Yeah. Tell me so I can fix
it. You can't decide where to put the stretcher.
That's right. The stretcher, grain orientation
on
the legs.
You're too anal.
Aren't you glad we took the time? Aren't you glad we took the time with that grain orientation though?
Yeah, I am, even though we ended up, I still think that we swapped one of the legs.
Yeah, something happened there with that sapwood was on the outside, but.
Yeah, it was on the outside.
Mm, right in the crotch, too.
Right on the crotch.
That's okay.
Sappy crotches.
Hey, you know what? Desirable. So, I don't know if I told you guys this while you were here or not, but I was reading the back of one of those shaker sand, whatever that stuff is you put on the tabletop. And it's like directions for putting it on there. And it says, before applying the sand, spray down the top with the special shuffleboard Teflon spray.
Mm.
Oh.
And so I ordered some and I sprayed it down. Man, uh-oh. That thing flies now.
I bet it's impossible to play.
It's crazy. That like super like fast stuff that we were putting down. I mean, you barely touch that puck and it's shoop, it's off the end. It's crazy.
Wild.
Yeah, because I guess it like so makes the top
like
super
the
slick,
greens.
So those little ball bearings just like it's like an ice skating rink.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. So like I was saying, it was nothing like the greens that we played on the Saturday.
Hey,
before.
I played this morning on that.
Yeah,
same
I saw
course.
You. I was like, I recognize that course.
Was that the same? Yeah, I actually did recognize that tee box.
The greens
next
are
to the road.
Beautiful, nice and green. All the plugs are filled in with water.
All the sand is
with
gone.
Water,
with water.
It was raining. Because it was raining.
We had to make a special rule today that it was an automatic free drop if you got in any bunker. Because the bunkers were
water hazards.
Yeah, you could literally could not play out of the bunkers. Which
small pools.
I mean, I don't ever hit in the bunkers anyway. So
No, never.
No.
Oh, another mess. I forgot. So another mess in the shop. But so Wednesday, I walk out there and I look down on the floor and there's like something that had leaked all over the place. And my gaze comes up to the my my workbench top there, whatever. And my I have a Total Boat like epoxy mixing station, which has a tank for resin, a tank for the hardener, and when you push the pump, it mixes out, it meters out the exact right amount. So it's this whole contraption. The seal or the gasket had busted on the resin part, and it had leaked a gallon of resin all over my bench top, all down the side, and was everywhere, like a stick. And it was still wasn't completely emptied out of the tank. And I was like, how do I even start this cleanup?
Sawdust.
So
just add hardener.
Sawdust and just add hardener with kitty litter. But huge shout out to Total Boat, because that happened Wednesday. Today, there's a new pumping station downstairs and a box of epoxy and thick soda to replace everything.
They're great, man. I love that company.
She's like, that has never so happened. Good. I'm like, has this happened to other people? She's like, no, never. We're mortified. So
with
you're the first.
It was a first.
With how much I hate epoxy stuff, most of it, I love that that company. They're great.
Oh my gosh. They're amazing. They're absolutely amazing.
Kristen is
Total Boat, baby. Gem.
Total Boat. Did I send you guys my little, I made like a little graphic for when I talk about Total Boat in my videos of my Bitmoji on a Total Boat and the logo flying by. I'll send it to you guys. It made me laugh like probably way more funny than it actually is, but it gave me a, I'll see if I can send it while we're on the show here.
Total Boat, baby.
Total Boat, baby. And I got a boat sound in the background.
So you're actually like on a boat?
Yeah.
Did you use that on the shuffleboard table?
No, I just did it yesterday. Just made it yesterday.
But you did the Total Boat Baby thing on there.
Yeah. Yep. I re-recorded that and like put some background noise in it so it sounded kind of like a little more natural than just talking.
Before we just skip over it, back to your mini router table, I was watching your stories. Dude, that thing looks pretty cool.
It's a Cadillac for no reason. Like that's what I was saying to people. I'm like, I could do plans, but it's literally probably over $100 in just parts with the track on the top and the knobs and the dust port and the T-track and the Lexan to make your base plate and all these things. It's just silly stupid, but you know, that's just how I do things. It started out small but the stand that I made for the one that I'm going to, and I'm not calling it a giveaway, I'm calling it a give back, because I don't want to using the term giveaway on any just invites the prize pigs. So giving back to my YouTube subscribers. But I wanted that whole stand to be toolless. So you don't need like an Allen wrench to put it together. You can just break. So everything is studded knobs and threaded inserts. So you can quickly break down the stand if you just want to use the top or if you need to transport or whatever. So that took, it's really not complicated. It just took me a while to figure out like the leg design and how I wanted it all to be. But
how did you design it? In SketchUp?
No, right in KeithUp, right in my brain there. I just kind of drew it out.
Because I was going to say, if you could put it into SketchUp and send it to our boy Sean, he could at least put it in the Shaper Hub and people could cut out all the parts and pieces, just zoop, zap, zam, and...
Yep. I mean, I was going to, I may do plans anyway, because there was a few days. So I reached out to our plan guy. I haven't heard back yet. Because it is pretty simple to do, but we'll see. At any event, all the parts and I'll put like dimensions down there for people, but you know,
that's
you
the
never
thing
know,
is,
like,
even if you think it's
this?
Dumb to build it, people will build it. Or at least lots of people just buy plans because they want to see in detail how it's built. And they're not even going to build it. They just want to look at the plans.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why I buy
magazines.
They
could probably use a lot of the techniques you used in making that to do all sorts of different jigs and...
to figure out the easier way to do it.
Thingamabobs.
Right. The right way to do it.
But the right... Yeah. So, yeah, I think that edited down to like 30 something minutes. So as I'm voiceovering Jason, I'm actually trying to hack a little bit out of that because that's just too long for a simple trim router table.
I don't know, man. The long videos are a gamble because there's a chance that people are going to look at the length and be like, no, I'm not going to watch that. But if you can get them to watch it from a business standpoint, the longer the video, the more money you're going to make.
If you can hook them, you know, at the beginning and entertain them and so they stay, then that's,
Well,
I guess
one
that's
word.
Part of the game.
Well, I guess it's two words. Nip slip. Reel him in, man.
It's a morsel slip.
Yeah.
I keep getting Jerry's puckered starfish slip, like in all the, like he's jumping, and I keep having to put a little sensor logo over it, but his little nutsack and his little,
little cat coin purse.
Yeah, cat coin purse. Keeps showing up everywhere. Like, dude, nobody wants to see that.
Get out of here, Jerry.
Thank God there's no tinsel hanging out of it or anything. But
hey, somebody commented on one of my YouTube videos. Now, this is a person after your own heart because of the way they phrased this comment. But they said something like, I just wanted to let you know that our youngest, Megan, who then they later described to be one of their cats, our youngest Megan has started doing this thing where they like run and slide around a corner whenever they hear us in a room, and we've dubbed it the bourbon moth slide. But I just thought it was funny the way they referred to their youngest Megan. Who names a cat
My
Megan?
Youngest.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
It's a little. Well, who names theirs little Jerry Seinfeld? I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't have to be Sprinkles.
That's true.
Or Whiskers. They can have a real name.
Tamale. I mean,
I talk to these. I talk to these two like they're kids. Like the sap I am.
Well, what else we got?
I don't have anything else other than everyone is telling me that I have to do documentary now.
Mm-hmm. Like that's your new thing.
That's supposed to be my
thing,
right?
That's your new
thing. That's too expensive,
man. I loved Brad's plug for all three of us on his stories.
I know.
Yeah. That was funny.
So Nick, Keith, and Jason put out these videos. Don't watch Keith and Jason's video. Thanks, Brad. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that was really nice.
Yeah.
He was right. Yeah, if you could get that guy to do like a 10 video bundle, you know, for like $150 a pop rather than, I don't know. You never know.
Yeah, I need to get him on retainer.
Yeah. He's your in-house voiceover. Man. Yeah, it's a write-off.
Maybe you could get a discount if you like include a link to his services in your video description.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk it up like, hey, so, I got a huge following, you know. Maybe you get some more work.
Right.
Yeah. You did get a bump in subscribers though from that video, yeah?
Got a huge
yeah,
bump.
I got a huge, huge bump. Yeah, yeah. It was probably just from being in you guys' intros.
Mm, whatever it takes.
Don't sell yourself short. I think it was the narration.
I'll sell myself short.
Okay.
It was definitely being in your videos. Because the analytics don't show very many followers from the video, but
I didn't know you could look at that.
Yeah, you can.
And like see where people are coming from?
You can see it all.
Well, yeah, it'll tell you like if they clicked on your video and then subscribed after.
Really?
Right. If you go to the video analytics and just click audience or whatever subscribers. Huh. It's funny because I clicked on your video, Nick, and like if you guys have vidIQ or whatever, it automatically shows the stats of your video versus mine. So it shows you... Yeah. Like your subscribers going across and mine going, and then a huge spike in yours, and mine just kind of gradually goes up and then back down. But you had like 800 in one day, which was like, there it is.
Dude, sorry, I'm watching Keith's total boat graphic. I love it.
It's funny.
So yeah, that was a nice
bump,
man.
Yeah, no,
I
had a big spike. It was nice. Yeah, it was good to see.
I like it. Decent spike. Not as good as the Neil Patrick Harris bump, but it was still good.
Yeah. So the problem I had with this last closet door video is the closet doors are going in our guest room, and the room is so small. It's a really small room, maybe like 12 by 12, if that. I don't know.
Mm.
And so you can't get good pictures in there.
Yeah,
and
then
we had this canopy bed, like four-poster bed, you know, with like the connecting pieces up high, so it makes this like kind of like canopy thing over the top, and that was right in the way of the shot. And so I had this idea, like, you know, I think we're going to get rid of this bed anyways. I didn't ask my wife first, but I was like, I think we're going to get rid of this bed anyways. I'm going to turn on the camera, and then I'll just say something about I wanted to give you guys a good view, and I'm just going to take a sawzall and cut all these, like, pieces off the bed. So I set up the camera, and I take out the sawzall, and I just start hacking this bed up like crazy. I get it all down. I didn't press record on the camera.
Oh, no. Sugar.
Oh no.
I like faked it a little bit in the video, but I was really disappointed because I was like, this is going to be like a really good part of this video is me just taking this saws out of this bed. But.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen that. Well, you have to buy another one and do it.
Do it over.
Yeah, just do it again.
I thought about star bonding the riser pieces back on and then just like redoing
it. And then just punching them off.
Star bonding.
Yeah. Yeah, just like karate kicking. Head That's what it. I should have done.
Ha-cha! Yeah. Oh, that reminds me, Keith, my favorite part of your video is the ending. The
With
outro
the
where you go, yeah, you
acting.
Go, acting.
Oh, the mic wasn't on.
Oh, that got me so good.
What's funny is I'll bet you 99% of the people didn't even make it to that because that's literally the last word said. Like, nobody makes it that far.
Nobody right makes it that it far. In the last, like, 30 seconds of this closet door video, I explained because I put the doors up and there's no, like, guide on the floor to keep the doors from swinging out. So you could tell in the video when I put them on, they, like, are swinging back and forth. And the reason is because the guide from the original doors was bright white and now the floors are black and the door is black. And so I ordered black ones. But they're not here yet. So in the last literally 30 seconds of the video, I was like, the one last thing I have to do is I have to put these guides on, but they're back ordered. I'm waiting for them to come in, so I can't show you that part, blah, 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 blah. Gotten like 15 comments from people like, aren't you going to put guides on there? That seems kind of lame. Those are going to flop all over the place.
Nobody painful. Listens all the way through.
I know. What are you going to do? You can't win. But.
Yep.
Yeah. Marcus Brown, Ross Hovels, Jordan at Rustic Creations, Chris, what is that, a Soder? Eric Spensley at Spensley Design Co., Derek Jennings, Pecan Tree Design, Jason Hill, Grayhill Woodworks, Aaron Gregerson, Nolan Russell, Alan Dranberg, Mark Alms, Ricky Harkins, Jeff Noel at GHIJKMNOP63. There's Noel. Nicole Wabi. Robert Fisher, Tyler Spangler at Spangler _ Woodworking.
Wait, can we go back to that real quick? Because am I the first one or the last one to realize that his name is Noel, Jeff Noel? So
yeah,
Noel,
and there's
Noel,
and
no L.
Yeah,
am I the last?
Why do you
one
think I say that every
party?
Time? Yeah, every time
it's
I say
been
that.
About a, it's been a few months now.
All right, I'm gonna need you to edit that out, Nick. Thanks.
Wow. Well, why if else ever... would I say there's no L after saying that?
All right.
I'm leaving it in.
Feel bad.
That's a punch in the morsels.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they just
right.
literally sunk into my chest.
We just lambasted
so
your brain. All right. We got Tyler Spangler at Spangler _ Woodworking, Chris Bolins, Tony Adan, Bespoke Carpentry Works. Aman Johansson, he's from Iceland. We got Andreas Wenmir from, he's at Jurassic.cc. He's from Sweden. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's how he talks from Sweden. Is that how Swedish people talk?
Yeah, a little bit.
It's probably derogatory. Aaron Maccabee at Maccabee Design. Michael Rodabaugh, Rodcore Restoration. He's not on Instagram, but he wants you to know he's at Rodcore Restoration. Yono Reisch. At Yono 28, Jordan Ward at Lost _Angler _Design, Ben Fuller at August_Trails_Design, Nicholas Fairfield at Fairfield Wood Works with an X, Michael Olson at M.J.Olson2181, MJ, not Mike, Prohorov, the Bits and Bits man himself at Pioneer Home Repair. And then Best Buds, Alex Johnson and Nick Leonard. Alex Johnson's at Johnson Works and Nick Leonard's at Stated Woods Co.
Right.
Woo!
And to close,
I'm not
out
saying
the show,
we have to end the show there. I wanted to throw that in before I forgot.
I think it's a good stopping point. We've been going for an hour ten here. But
and if you wondered what all those names were, those are our returning top tier patrons.
And now, thank you,
Keith,
very
I won't
much
interrupt
for the
you
support.
Again. I'm sorry.
That's quite all right. I love it when you interrupt me. Gives okay. me a chance to collect my thoughts.
All right.
Getting back to MJ Prohorov.
Do you need a little more time to collect them? Or are you good now?
Let me think. Hang on. Yeah, now I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good. So MJ, I spoke with him yesterday. He's the Bits and Bits guy who's going to be helping me out on my next collaboration project. Sorry, guys. I had to pick up two other makers for this one.
What?
Local.
You
local.
Son of a...
Kind of local. from Boston. But he's going to send out some bits so we can use on the CNC. So thank you, MJ. Guy was on the ball. We super appreciate that. So be sure to go to bitsbits.com for all your CNC and router bit needs and use the coupon code morsels15 to save 15% off. And that's really all I have.
Speaking of sending stuff out to you, I still got to send you your little care package of items you left strewn about my shop.
I have to send you guys your care packages of children's books for your kiddos.
Oh.
I went to the post office the other day to get a flat rate box, and I was like, 12 by 12. I think a lot of the books I have are bigger than that. So I need to check the size of those before going back to the PO.
Those are large books.
Well, it depends. Like, a lot of them are under 12 by 12, but some of them are bigger than that. I don't know. I got to check my inventory, my library, and see what I have. But, yeah, so that was my laptop charger that I left there, right? Did I leave my mask in your truck as well? My black mask?
Yeah, probably. I've probably been wearing it.
Yeah. My bank robbing career has come to a slight halt without that.
Let's see. You probably left your mask. You left your little clip on the top of the tripod for your phone. You left your laptop charger. You left your earmuffs. You left your bits. You left that little sample block of walnut with the bronze pigment in it.
Did I leave my bits? Or Nick left his bits?
Yeah. No, I left your bits.
Oh, I thought I actually grabbed mine. I think those are yours.
No, I've got my bits.
Did you get bits? Maybe they're my bits.
I have bits.
I think they are. Were there only two?
Maybe. I don't remember.
Because they gave us three each in a little bag, and one of yours you actually used.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, they probably are mine then.
I think I grabbed mine.
I'll grab my bits, bits from Bits and Bits, because their bits are the shits.
Oh, I'm going to have to censor that. Write that down.
But yeah, we were in just a fury or flurry to get out of there and forgot all kinds of things.
Well, especially because at least we thought you were
missing. At least we cleaned up
flight.
Your shop before we left. We got that place spick really and span.
Yeah.
Cleaned up
It looked beautiful.
Dust collector full of sawdust.
I mean, the Makita Roomba should have taken care of that in no time.
It won't fit inside the dust collector. I tried. All right. Well, we got some questions from the patrons, and we're going to address those in the after show. We've got three different questions from three different patrons, and we're going to hit them all in the after show. So if you want to be a part of the after show, you go to patreon.com/shopsoundspodcast to sign up. Any tier level gets access to the after show, and you can hear the answers to all of these questions.
And you can see possibly Jerry's posterior.
Oops. Good thing we're not on video. Oh, that's Jerry, what are you doing?
There's just one more thing we got to say
before we go.
Total boat, baby.
I need to make that a soundboard where I can just hit a button.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's awesome.
Perfect.
All right, to the after show. See you guys.
Here we go.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you.
I love you.